Welcome to the MegaCast.
You're in Mackay, man. Summer is never over. This is it. This is the weather. This is life.
I've made a terrible mistake. moving here. It's going to be. Anyway, welcome to episode 68 of the MegaCast. We're getting towards the end of the year. It's like really close to Christmas.
Too close.
It's really close. And we're going to have to do our Game of the Year podcast very soon as well.
Oh my God, I don't have time in my life for that.
I think, what was the last one? 3.5 hours, I think?
3.5 hours, yeah. We cut it short because it was like 1 o'clock his time.
Yeah, it was very, very early. So I think that's going to have to happen probably either next week or the week after. That's going to be, anyway.
No, the week after is Christmas Day, so it will happen next week.
So it has to be next week. All right. Like I said, welcome to episode 68 of the MegaCast. I'm joined tonight by Wilco and Josh, and we have a special guest, Meredith, tonight. Good evening, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, so Meredith, we'll start off. Tell us where you're from. What do you do? Why are you here?
Merry Christmas. So my name's Meredith, obviously. I work at a small indie studio in Melbourne. We're called Ultimus. We focus on virtual reality, mixed reality, AR as well. And we've been working on a game for the past, oh my God, the year's nearly gone, 10 months, I think, at this point. Yeah, our first virtual reality game, Paperville Panic, which launches in less than 48 hours.
So that's Paperville Panic, is it?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, cool. I might check that out because I've got some news. We'll get into my news of what I've been up to over the past week. But Wilco, we'll kick off with you, man. What games have you been playing? What have you been doing? What's been tickling your feathers and ruffling all your jimmies in the past 7 days, bud?
Oh, not much, mate. Not much.
Fuck off, man. Things always ruffle your jimmies. I know you. You're always fucking whinging about something.
I'm always whinging, that's it. I've been harassed by someone called Stevie Jarre in Discord and telling me to harden up and finish Wolfenstein 2 before Game of the Year podcast so I can nominate it for Game of the Year. So I started playing that two nights ago, Sunday night. Good fun. I put it on the Can I Play Daddy mode so I can get through it and enjoy the story of it, because the story is pretty good so far. So I'm about 2.5 hours into it.
So to ease confusion there, Meredith, we have a rule for our Game of the Year that you're not actually allowed to nominate a game for Game of the Year unless you finished it.
I love that, but also knowing a lot of completionists, that would ruin people's lives.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Wilco can't nominate any games this year because
I finished one game.
I've finished two games this year. Thank you very much.
And 50-50 chance.
One is Golf Story 2 and one is... No, sorry, Golf Story. The other one's Destiny 2. So I think you can hazard a guess of which one's going to get it out of those two.
Damn.
I'm trying to get Wolfenstein 2 done. I also, that's right, my child who loves cars was annoying me, so I just started playing Project Cars 2 and to try and keep him quiet, but it sort of had the opposite effect because I kept on crashing, and every time I crashed, he knows only about 5 words, and one of them is crash. So you'd hear him every 2 seconds going, crash, crash, crash. Like, that's it. I'm going to race at Daytona. Because I can't crash at Daytona. But, good fun game. I only got half an hour into it. So I played some more Assassin's Creed. And, Josh, explain to me these targets. So there's 5 targets I've got to get. Is that it?
Oh, you're,
or is that, well, that right, open up into more?
You're only at the 5? Okay. Keep playing, man. Just keep playing.
Okay.
I haven't played it again for a while, but just keep playing. Like, it stands out.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm looking for these prisoners. I'm trying to somehow randomly these prisoners turned up and I started, freeing them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've gone into a room. I've killed one guard on one side and I've killed the other guard. I turn around and the room's clear and all of a sudden there's this guy getting out of the bed. I'm like, oh, hold on. I'll quickly assassinate you. And then it's cut to a cutscene and he's one of the main guys I was supposed to assassinate.
Mm.
And it's taken me off on some weird story mission for the next half an hour. And I'm like, I just wanted to save some prisoners, dude. What's going on?
It stands out a bit, man.
Yeah, no, it was just random, but I'm enjoying that still. But the big thing, I guess, we played The Division on Friday night because they've had their 1.8 patch drop, which is a free update, and it is rather good. A whole new area to play and stuff like that. So we got the boys together and we played some of the new West Side Pier and bits and pieces like that. Banged our head against the wall and got a bit of loot, but not any good loot, but rather enjoyable. So getting back into more of that soon, especially with the global event that's just started yesterday or tonight. Oh, sweet. So, yeah, expect some more Division coming soon. But
I'm so surprised that game is just still going.
Yeah.
It's actually picking up momentum because the Black Friday sales had it really cheap. And they actually came out and said our numbers are as high as they've been for a long time from that. They've had the 1.7 and 1.8 patch drops. 1.8 patch just dropped, which is really good. They've changed a whole heap of stuff that has been a problem for a very long time. And that has brought this community that's sort of been sitting on the fence waiting for it to get good or waiting for the sequel. And a lot of them have come back in. And now they've followed it up with this global event. So... it's as busy as it's ever been, which is really good to see.
I just don't think I can play it again, hey? It's been too long.
It's still...
Yeah, I feel the same way.
You know?
All the problems that existed still exist for me. It was never about progression or anything. It was just about the fact that the whole time I'm shooting people, they corner themselves in this realistic universe and then made me shoot normal human people 400,000 times to drop them. That's not how life works.
Nah.
Like, you shoot someone, they're dead. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's still there. So it's still an RPG at heart, unfortunately, in a real world, which doesn't really work too well. But, I've been playing that with McDad and Josh and all those other boys. But I'm keen to do some more of that soon. But I've got two keys here that I'm pretty keen to play soon. One is Rumu, which launches tomorrow on Steam.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be so good. And, I really do want to play it, but I've just been too busy. So I will get into it soon. Another one I can't really talk about, but there's a closed beta that I'm in for another indie game from Australia. So that's pretty good.
Very nice.
Oh, listen to Mr. Upper Class over here with his fucking monocle on. I'm playing a game that I can't talk to anybody about.
It's pretty confidential.
I really do want to talk about it, but it's clear. Those NDAs that had signed my life away and everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, as a producer, that you actually are sticking to it. So.
Yeah, I know. That's true. They said, look, you can talk about that you may be playing it on socials, but if you're unsure, just don't do it. I'm not sure. I'm not going to bother.
I'd absolutely stuff it up. I'd be the person saying nothing.
All right, Joshua.
Yeah,
exactly. We do keep to NDAs because it's always we're a pretty small outlet. So when we do get one, it's bloody exciting. We like that. It's like, that's fucking cool. Hey, Josh.
Yes, that's me.
What have you been doing, man? Because I can see that you've been playing a whole shitload of games because you've got one.
I can't believe you fitted that many games in your week. That's ridiculous.
It's phenomenal. So all I have been doing is Xenoblade. That's it. That's the only thing I've played is Xenoblade. That's it, the whole time. Nothing else. I'm about 40-odd hours in now, I think. And,
Fuck, sorry, I just have to... My partner just banged on the window and I just shit myself. Anyway, sorry. Keep going, Josh. I'll just fucking... Yeah, no,
it's just mad
really,
that he hasn't played more. It's like...
yeah, exactly.
It still doesn't beat the night that he heard someone tapping on his actual window and in middle of the podcast. And it was from outside, but turned out to be a cat from the next door.
That was a cat tapping at the window.
A cat.
It was like scratching, trying to get in or something or other.
Yeah, there was actually a person outside and I called the police. That was a fun night too. But Josh, tell us about Xenoblade, because this is much more important than my life.
that's the only thing I've played in the past 7 days. I'm about 50 hours into it now. And really, really, really enjoying it. It is a really good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't put it down.
Solid review.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, it's an RPG. It's massive. There's so many different systems and everything that you've got to learn. The battle system, the battle mechanics are so more in-depth than what I first thought when I first picked up the game. And as I said, like, I'm 50 hours in now and still there's bits of the game that are still opening up. You know, like I'm getting access to more and more of the game now because I'm progressing further and further in the story. So it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
Good stuff. Are you going to do a write-up on that, or is there anything going to come out on that at all, you think?
I'm looking at doing a little tips article. For anybody thinking about picking it up for Christmas.
Right, that fucking article name.
Yeah, so we do have a pretty... Should I say the article name? Yeah.
It's Tips Out for the Boys.
Tips Out for the Boys.
Dumb. We are a very
I'm
professional organisation.
Doing that up at the moment, so...
I honestly wish I had time in my life for a 100-hour game, to be honest, Josh, but I don't.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know those feelings. Well, I guess we'll get into... actually, before we do me, we'll do... Meredith, what have you been playing? I'm guessing since you're about to release a game, probably...
Not a lot.
Not very much.
No, not as much as
no Overwatch? You haven't been getting Overwatch in?
I'm always playing Overwatch. No matter what's going on in my life, I manage to squeeze in just a smidge. Oh, that's a very... How long have we got? I'm actually a flex main. I play pretty much everything, so I will always just fill. I'm that person that's like, which usually means you end up a support main because no one ever wants to do it.
Yes, true.
But yeah, basically always playing Overwatch. I have been playing a little bit of Destiny 2, but actually more Crucible than anything else.
Cool.
I've really been enjoying the PvP.
On PC or PS4?
On PC, yeah. I played the original on PS4. And it was kind of my chill-out game, and now that I've got it on PC, it feels very serious. I don't know why.
Yes.
But, yeah, otherwise I just really want to, when I eventually have time again, I need to get back to Life is Strange, the Before the Storm.
Oh, yes.
I'm about halfway through, and I want to get back to Divinity 2 as well because that game is so good but so big. Oh, but it's just so huge, and, like, I can't justify opening it to only close it 10 minutes later at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that pain is real. What kind of break will you get after the game's released? Obviously, you'll have a busy couple of weeks after that, but will you get some time off?
Yeah, we get some time off over Christmas. But, I mean, because we're launching in an early access format, we've got pretty much the next 6 months sort of planned out. So while we will have a break and we'll be away, my brain will still probably be ticking and turning. But we're in a pretty good spot once this first release starts, and we're a bit ahead of the game. So it'll be good to see when we come back in the new year a little bit refreshed because it's just been a whirlwind since PAX.
Yeah. Actually, same. And I'm not even releasing a game. It's been a fucking whirlwind since PAX. Bloody hell. So what was PAX like for you?
Oh, madness. There are probably not enough words to describe it.
Well, how many words did you put in your article that you put up?
Yes, look, I did receive some teasing for that, I will admit. I'm a firm believer in documentation, and I think I proved it.
Yes, you did.
It was, I could have gone on in that for another probably, whatever, 30 freaking pages, whatever it was.
The in-joke here is you wrote a beginner's guide, an in-depth guide into setting up a PAX, being an exhibitor at PAX, so before, during, and sort of after as well. So,
yeah, there's really no info out there, and that was what I found when I came on board with Ultimus, was that there was just nothing. Like, I was really sure, other than a website called Indie Boothcraft and a couple of talks, no one talks about the back end of the process. No one talks about hiring or whether you buy. Like, it just doesn't really happen. So, and we didn't know that many people at other studios, so there wasn't actually that many people we could ask. So I just want to hopefully prevent someone from sitting in my position and being like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, I understand that completely. So apart from Overwatch, which you always play, and your own game, not catching up with too much lately?
No, not a lot at all. The last probably game I played that was a little bit different was Doki Doki Literature Club. I don't know if any of you have played that.
I've heard a lot of people talking about
that. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but it is one of the best subversions of like a visual novel genre ever. Even if you don't like visual novels, I really, really suggest you give it a go. I loved it.
And it's free from my understanding, isn't it?
I don't mind visual novels, but they've got to have some. Like, I really like Danganronpa. Like, I'm a big fan of the Danganronpa series. That's probably the closest thing to a visual novel I've played. But there's a lot of crime-solving stuff in there as well.
You'll know from, like, when you launch the game that it's going to be different because it literally gives you a warning. But it is...
this game's going to be different,
seriously,
bro.
Seriously good and spooky. Cool. It's great. That's all I'll say. So definitely play that. And then I don't know if you guys played A Mortician's Tale. That came out a little while ago, which was another indie one. I can't remember the studio's name off the top of my head, but... basically that you're a mortician in a funeral home and you have to actually like prepare the bodies. It sounds really morbid, but it was actually quite positive.
Yeah, that sounds really
morbid.
I play
everything.
Experience game this, you know, like did you fuck up any of the bodies? Like, oh, sorry guys, first day on the job.
You kind of can't. Which sort of bummed me out because my immediate reaction when I get in the game is like, how dumb can I be with this? Like, how stupid can I make this at times? But
you have four eyes now.
Exactly. But it was really well handled and really interesting. I'm hoping they'll do a bit more content for it because it was relatively short. It was only about probably 45 minutes long. But it was really, really good. Really good.
Mm. Awesome.
Cool. So now I just have a list. Careful.
You're making a game called Paperboy Panic, or you're not, you're part of the team.
Yes.
Do you want to just, anyone out there who sort of has a VR kit, do you want to explain to them quickly what it is before we go on a little bit? Because we haven't really talked about that at all, have we?
So Paperboy Panic is a action adventure game. It's for the Vive at the moment. Ideally we'll be porting. We just don't know when or how or what that looks like, really. You are a rookie firefighter in a town that is made entirely of arts and crafts and paper.
That's a shit gig.
The application form really did not set you up for what you're getting into. But basically on your first day, they have their first ever fire. Like, it's never happened before. And you've got a fire chief who's just, exactly. I mean, what are you going to do? You got a fire chief who has no freaking clue what he's doing. So it's got this really like cutesy art style, but it's sort of set up against this really silly world and almost quite cheeky world. It's almost got a little bit of a South Park vibe, I think. So we've been having a lot of fun with it, but we keep having to ask ourselves questions that we never thought we would have to, like, what is recycled paper? What is confetti? Like, is confetti the pink mist of the paper world? Like, how does this work? So it's been really, really funny in the process.
That's cool. That's rad. So the general gameplay is like an adventure-y sort of game?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of exploring different areas, but we didn't want to make just a traditionally exploratory VR game. I think there's a lot of games that are already kind of filling that market. So what we've tried to do is make sure that, yes, you explore different buildings and put out these fires, but you're also sort of responding to these narrative crises, I guess, and going into different scenarios where you might have to sort out different puzzles or you have to find people or do different things. So we're trying to play around with the mechanics a lot. If you think about the traditional day of a firefighter, and if there's fire in a building, you go in, you save the people, you put out the fire, and then, but then add a town that is literally falling apart at the seams.
When are they going to have time to shoot their calendars?
Well, exactly. It's funny you mentioned that. We literally have a calendar joke in the game. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I thought so. Hey, I guess we should probably... Is anyone interested in what I've been doing for the past week? There's a lot of games I've been playing.
Tell us. Tell us.
Share. You pack of mongrels.
Let me guess, Tekken 7.
Yes, I'm still playing Tekken 7. I need to get out of these fucking green ranks, man. Oh, my God.
You were raging a little bit on, what was that, would have been Friday night, maybe Thursday night? I don't know. You weren't happy.
Oh, no,
you got
like
triple perfect by somebody who was two levels lower than you.
Yeah, man, that was so annoying. He was button mashing. He was playing that boxer wanker and he just kicked my ass. Then I beat him like six times in a row and then he left and I felt better about myself a little bit.
How's your keyboards going? Have you broken any more?
No, I've only punched the keyboard once and that was that one time when I knew I shouldn't have been playing Tekken. I was already in a bad mood and I was just like, this is not, you don't play competitive online games when you're in a really bad mood, especially when you know you're not good at them. You don't do it.
Unless you want to make your mood a whole lot worse, like worse very quickly.
Yeah, and I did make my mood worse and then broke my keyboard, so that was good fun.
You just like to punish yourself sometimes, I think, don't you?
Every now and then it's not it's not too bad. A bit of self-hate. It's good for the system, I think. I'm not too sure. Speaking of self-hate, I've still been playing Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I've got some news for you, Berko.
Do you?
I've got a CD key here sitting underneath my keyboard that I've got to install later on that I bought for PC. So I won't be able to play with you, but I've sold out to the dark side.
Oh, really?
I only paid $50 for it, so I'm happy with that.
Oh, you see, I didn't support them at all because I got it for my birthday, and I still don't think that this game should be supported in any way. But it sucks because it's actually not a bad game. There's been a lot of negativity around it. I do not agree with the way that EA is designing their games and the nefarious nature around the anything they're doing, really, about the addictive nature of what they're doing and everything. I don't agree with any of it. And the suckful thing about most all of it is that they did it in a Star Wars game and they did it in a decent Star Wars game, because that really fucking bums me out. Really, really bums me out, but I will.
But yeah, you're still playing it. That's the main thing. What are you playing mostly, though? The arcade still, or are you actually playing?
No, I finished that. I did finish the single player campaign.
Yeah.
Found it very enjoyable. Have you played it very much, Meredith?
No, I haven't touched it at all, but my partner's played a bunch of it, and I think he had the same experience, that the campaign was quite good, but he felt that it was quite short well, all things considered.
It's not a 10 out of 10 game, but it's a solid, it's an 8 or something, you know, it's not a bad game.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of the genre as well, like, you're always going to be drawn to something like that, but it's just a shame that it kind of came out the way it did. Yeah. It's a bit of a bummer.
It's the No Man's Sky of 2018, that's for sure. Look, I've still been dabbling with Lost Castle and Epic Tavern. I should have a review.
I've got to play more Epic Tavern. I've got to make a video relaxing on that.
We need to, I really want to do the multiplayer in Lost Castle, so you need to let me know next time you play.
We'll do that as well.
Is it four player now?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If I find time, I'll team you up and I'll play as well.
Yeah, sounds good. So you've been playing Lost Castle and Epic Tavern. They're two indie games. I'm still reading a lot of manga because I've got, just when I sort of ever had downtime.
You've got nothing else to do.
I'm just flipping out my phone and jumping on my app. I'm currently reading Sunken Rock, I think it's called. Very good. Anyway, it's about this Japanese gangster. Awesome stuff. Still reading a lot of other ones as well. Here we go. Monster Hunter World. Everyone knows exactly how fucking excited I am about this game. I got to play the beta for the past couple of days. Yes,
you're happy, man.
Yes, I'm incredibly rock hard at the moment. It's fucking great. It is just the best game. I can't wait for it. End of January. Bring it on. I was a little bit, actually, to be fair.
What are you going to play first, though? Are you going to play that, or are you going to play Dragon Ball FighterZ, whatever it's called?
Yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Probably both. I'll probably be playing them both.
You're going to buy a second PS4?
Yeah, just so I can play both at the same time. I'll play Dragon Ball FighterZ and FighterZ and then Monster Hunter World at night time. It'll be a game where I'll jump on Dragon Ball FighterZ for, maybe half an hour to an hour, do a couple of online matches, hopefully wreck a few people, which would be nice because it's got a very similar control scheme to Marvel vs. Capcom, which I'm already well versed in, and then I'll jump on Monster Hunter World for fucking hours.
I'm gonna kick your ass at that game.
All right, sit down before you fucking hurt yourself. All right.
I am sitting down. I know.
Oh shit. Well, now you shit out of luck. Monster Hunter World. Oh man, I
downloaded it, but then I played Wolfenstein 2 instead. I'm sorry.
That's fair. I will say that I was a little bit disappointed in the beta because it's the same build that we played at PAX. There's nothing new.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. It's the exact same one we played at PAX. So while it's very, very good, it's stuff that I have already played. I did get to show a few of my friends how to play Monster Hunter, which was a lot of fun. Actually going on a hunt with a couple of mates was fucking great. I think the fights get harder. Like, it's the whole Diablo or Path of Exile thing where someone else joins or you join someone else and everything. Yeah, it scales up.
Right.
Because I was able to beat the intermediate mission by myself in about 9 minutes, I think it was. I beat the intermediate one. I joined it with my mate Shane, and we failed it the first time, mostly because he's got a shit out sense of direction and got completely lost on the map. I knew where the fuck he was going, and it was just me fighting this boss for ages.
It's Shane. Like, was it hard to carry that team? Was it hard to carry that
team? I don't know how he does it, hey. The fucking Gieven. And then we did it again and we beat it, but we only had probably 2 minutes to spare. But we did have that really cool partner again where we were fighting the main monster and the second monster just fucking comes out of nowhere and they start fighting each other. And then you're just sort of just watching this giant monster. It's just fucking cool. I really can't wait for that game. I think I'm going to spend a lot of time with that game earlier in the year.
I think USM will be getting into it in a fairly strong way as well.
I'd say so. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Played another Battle Royale game.
I did.
And you feel the same way about it as you do every other Battle Royale game.
Fuck Fortnite.
Okay, good.
Okay, so fuck Fortnite for all the wrong reasons, right?
I'm with you now.
All the right reasons. So what happened was I downloaded Fortnite the other night. I had a shitty week last week, and it came to Saturday night, and all I wanted to do was play some games with some friends. And I teed them all up and I said, let's all download Fortnite. This is my mate Simakai, and they've all got PS4s. So let's all download Fortnite. Let's play Fortnite. So they're all like, yes, we'll do that. The night comes around. I jump in. I put my boy to bed. Come in here. They're all playing Fortnite. And I go, fuck yeah, finally. Launch
you
Fortnite.
You mean they downloaded it on Mackay internet that quickly?
Yeah. We got NBN. Wow. It's very rough. But still, so they all downloaded it, playing Fortnite. I launched Fortnite, could not contact Fortnite servers.
No.
That's a bit fucking weird. Well, it's not down, they're playing it. And then from 7 p.m., I eventually got fed up and went to bed at just after midnight trying to get this fucking game working. And it just wouldn't work. I ended up sending the Fortnite Twitter account a picture of me just giving the screen the finger with the message behind it, could not connect to Fortnite servers with, and I think I captioned it, great game, dickheads, or something like that.
Oh, no.
I could not get this fucking thing working.
Some community manager is like sitting there scrolling. They're just like, oh.
I felt really bad about it afterwards, but still, like, I tried to get this thing working for ages and ages and ages, read all these forum posts to say, and like, I work in networks and I work in servers and systems. I understand all this stuff. I thought it might have been my ISP fucking up some DNS, so I ended up using OpenDNS servers. I did all this sort of stuff and it just wouldn't work. I went to bed, frustrated as fuck, got up in the morning, tried it, and it worked. I really like Fortnite. It's fucking good.
I just want to tell everybody else. While Matt was trying to get into Fortnite is when he was getting triple perfect by somebody in Tekken. So he was really not in a fucking mood.
I was
mood. Like,
fucking
was
raging.
Happy. And I'm sitting here.
That's right.
Playing.
I can't imagine it.
Playing bloody Xenoblade. And I'm just talking to Matt. And he is just fuming in the background. I'm like, I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Sweating my guts out because it's hot as fuck. We have no fucking aircon. It was raining outside. I had to mow the fucking lawn the next day because it grows at fucking 4 meters a second. Can't play Fortnite. Getting beaten in Tekken. I fucking hated that night.
We haven't even got to the good ranty stuff yet. The news already going.
Good fun. But I really like Fortnite. It's lots of fun.
What did you get? Did you play anywhere? Decent?
Yeah, man. So I've only played squad so far. We've got a third, a second, and like the top five another two or three times. Mm. And we're doing pretty well. I think we've got 2 seconds, actually.
I got a third on solo, and that's when I learned to look up. I wasn't looking up until that point.
People come from nowhere, hey.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's someone shooting at me and I'm looking around and can't see them. Lo and behold, they've built a platform up in the sky about 30 fucking meters up.
How looking down at you like, you scrub.
But how good is it? Like, I don't like PUBG. I played H1Z1. I won a H1Z1 solo and then I didn't play it again. I was like, okay, cool. I'm done with that now. Like, it was, you know, whatever.
Feeling?
Yeah. I was like, I'll retire on top. But Fortnite,
you know, 2018 is the year of the Battle Royale, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've been saying this for ages. So many coming out.
Starting there as well.
Yep. Agreed. So yeah, every game's going to
have. Is that what you're making next, Meredith?
No.
Paperville Panic Battle Royale.
Don't give away trade secrets.
Honestly. Now that you've said that, I am taking that back to the room. That is exceptional.
Okay. Somewhere on the map is a lighter, and then this game over. Yeah.
Good luck. It's more like Saw the game. It just becomes really psychologically horrifying.
The other one, like Fortnite, it's very, very good. So Fortnite's an interesting one. One thing I am a bit confused about is it does not appear that there is any way to get the cosmetics without spending real money. I don't think. Which is odd
to
me.
That's what I've heard.
And that sort of...
It's not odd. That's how you make money.
Yeah.
People have got to live, Perko.
And like, it is a free-to-play game.
Yeah. But I would have thought you would have got a couple of chests here and there to entice you to buy more. But instead, I'm just not ever going to... Yeah, I'm just not ever going to look at that screen.
Same issue I had with H1Z1, where they give you crates, but you can only open those crates if you give them money.
Yeah.
And I'm not in for that at all, sorry.
So much crueler, like.
Yeah.
It's all to do.
You've got a whole room full of stuff. You'll just need to ask to buy the key.
Yeah. That's how Dota 2 started as well, actually. You get crates after a match, you have to open them with keys. They were $2.50, I think, keys were at one point.
Yeah, $2.50 the keys are for H1 too. It's ridiculous.
Insane. And so something else really cool happened, and this one, big shout out to Lenovo. I'm a big fan of their laptops and peripherals and everything, and I was having a really rough week, as you probably have heard, and I came home one day and there was a big Lenovo box on the counter. And I was like, oh, that's a bit weird. That's pretty cool, bud. Thank you. It says thank you on it and stuff. And I went, oh, that's nice of them. I thought it was going to be a t-shirt and a water bottle and stuff like that. Open it up. Nah, VR headset.
That's awesome.
I was like,
you didn't even have to pay $2.50 to open it. So
no, I didn't. It was a real life supply drop. VR headset. It's Lenovo's mixed reality headset, which I'm assuming they're coming to the market with shortly. Mm. And
they've got, is it the same one they use for the Jedi Challenges one?
No,
it might be.
It looks different. It's a bit different. I've got the Jedi Challenges headset. Okay. It looks different.
Yeah.
So you paid that much money for it?
I didn't.
This one you can plug into like Steam VR and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like you can do stuff like that. So I've been had my first ever experience with VR and mixed reality MR over the past week.
Meredith's your new best friend, by the way, now.
I'm like sitting forward in the chair, like, how'd you go? Yeah.
So the Windows mixed reality or the Windows VR sort of landscape is this little apartment that you can walk around in. I was pretty blown away by that. That was cool. I was moving around and it's got two movement controls with it and stuff, and that was pretty cool. Unfortunately, my computer is not good enough to run VR games. I do need a new machine. However, what it is good enough to run, and the first time I really had sort of my wow, this is fucking great moment. I'm a big NBA fan. Downloaded an app from the store and was able to watch the highlights of this week's NBA matches from on the court.
I love that. That's so awesome.
Yes, it was fucking awesome.
Blows your mind.
Oh, yeah, it was so awesome that my dad came over and I'm like, Dad, get the fuck in here. Oh, you have to see this.
That is everyone's first reaction.
Yeah. So I sat Dad down in the chair.
Who else can I watch be in this?
Yeah, I sat Dad down in the chair, put it on him, and just watched him. And I knew when I was in this NBA, I knew that I was smiling the whole time. And I knew that anyone looking at me would just see this big, dumb smile on my face and me going, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And I got to watch my dad do it, which was just fucking almost better.
It's a spectator sport.
Yeah, it is.
100%.
So it was just, blown away by it.
You need to be careful. That was a spectator. Did you put any holes in the wall with your unit yet? You haven't actually been doing movement controls too much, have you?
No, I haven't. So they pretty much...
I played Paperville Panic and almost put a hole in their booth, and I think I might have knocked out one of the devs at one stage. I don't know.
Look, no one holds grudges, so...
Yeah, so no, I haven't.
Exactly. It's all well-meaning. It just means that you're in there.
I'm like, bang, that feels like a wall. That's okay. And that was a bit more softer. That felt like arm.
Yeah, you just hear someone like, oh, sorry. Like,
So when you set up, when you set up your Mixed Reality headset, they ask you if you'd like to turn on full room or if you want to sit in your chair. I said, no, I'll sit in my chair because there's a lot of shit in this room. So no, I'm definitely sitting down. But at Paperville Panic, I'm definitely going to have to check out now that I have the ability to do so as soon as it goes sort of, you know, not just Vive. So I've got one now and I'm very, very...
I've got to say...
Man, I'm fucking blown away.
Like, I would love to have a game of... Elite Dangerous with a VR headset, man. That phenomenal. Far out.
Wait till you play something like Superhot and you just lose your mind again. Because you're like, oh, I'm in the Matrix.
Yes, Superhot is... I think I actually won my Indie Game of the Year last year. I'm pretty sure I put it down as.
In VR, it's just, I have no words. It's so
I've been looking at it. It's $34. I've been looking at it. I'm hoping that my computer might be good enough to run Superhot VR because that is the first and probably the only game that I really, really, really need to play.
Reckon you'd be all right.
I might have to check it out.
Just play it till you throw up. You'll be all right.
I didn't get motion sickness. Actually, the one thing I will say is... you can. I think they're entering the market with this. I don't think it's going to be expensive. Like, I don't think this is an expensive headset from Lenovo. I think they've tried to enter the market with a more affordable sort of mixed reality headset for everyone, and for consumers. It's a bit. If you don't have them sitting right on your head, it's a little bit blurry, and you sort of got to move it around until it sort of comes into focus a bit. There's no real. You can't really focus.
Yeah, adjust it.
Each individual eye socket.
Same way you would have.
Yeah, yeah. So look, you know, but. I love it because I definitely can't afford a Vive and I'm not going to be able to afford a Vive for a long time. So this is just perfect.
I'll have
so
to good. Save up for next year, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
I love it though. Like all these brands starting to come out with more and more of them. Cause that's the thing. That is the biggest difficulty is people getting their hands on it. Cause once they get into it, they're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Like this is actually the coolest thing ever. But for so many people, there's just a huge barrier to entry that makes it really difficult.
Yeah, the buy-in's too much. It's the same thing. It's the fucking same argument I used for the Switch for half the year. Was like that. I personally, as a dad, can't justify $600 to play one game.
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't. It was the same. And even still, I don't. Apart from maybe Superhot, which is only a 3.5-4 hour experience, I don't know if VR has their.
Yeah,
game. Like they don't have that. The VR itself is reason enough. Yeah. They don't have that experience yet that is like, fuck, dude, you have to play this. You know, I think probably
Super Mario 48 hours, mate. It launches in 48 hours.
It's a double-edged sword because people are waiting for the content and then the content is waiting for the people. Yep. So that's why we were just like, oh, we're just going to go for it and try and make something amazing and hopefully the 10 or so people that have the Vive are going to go, hell yeah.
Actually, I've got to ask you a question. How do you think they're going to solve the movement debacle in VR? Have you seen anyone do it effectively yet? Or is it...
Honestly, I've seen a lot of different prototypes and ideas. I think a lot of it's actually going to come down to how people set up the gameplay a lot of the time, finding a way to either make the teleporting feel fluid enough that it doesn't pull you out of that immersion or make the actual experience immersive enough that you don't think about it. Mm. And people get really funny when you talk about making VR more immersive because it's like, well, you're literally in it. How can you make it more immersive? But it's about putting a player in that mindset to actually completely be so attached to the experience they forget it. It's like using a controller, right? Like if you're playing a game that you're really into, you forget that you're doing any of that. So I think that's going to be one of the big challenges, but I think we'll see a lot of little treadmills and all sorts of bits and pieces and a lot of people doing strange arm movements in their living rooms. And it's going to be interesting to see.
The one thing I can't believe that no one's done yet because it just fits perfectly is create a mech game that uses a joystick because that is just.
Yeah. I think there's a couple coming potentially. I know there's been a bunch of different like flying games, but the problem that comes with that is a lot of people then get motion sickness because you're moving at such a speed that your brain is like, something is terribly wrong here.
Yeah, because my inner ears are still, what the fuck is going on?
I would assume we've got MechWarrior Mercenaries 5 coming out next year. I'm assuming it'll have VR support.
Potentially.
Piranha have anything to say about it. see, I know Star Citizen has got a lot of inbuilt VR support as well, which that is phenomenal in that. But yeah, so you use teleportation in in Paperville Panic, and that felt fairly fluid for me when I was using it. So I'd never done that part of the motion before, but yeah, it worked really well. I want to play Project Cars too. Like, that's perfectly made up. You're sitting in a seat already. I'll get my steering wheel out and but that'll be probably the first thing I ever play when I just after Paperful Panic will be the first thing I ever play.
Yeah,
my vibe when I get one.
What do you think of my what do you think of my sort of theory that the reason that we're getting motion sickness in games is the same reason that my mum gets got motion sickness when the first 3D games came out, that our brains just can't deal with it. I honestly, I've got this theory that kids growing up now probably won't get motion sickness from the VR stuff because they're going to have malleable enough brains that, you know, they get used to that shit.
It's funny that you say that, because we didn't expect as many kids to play through the game at PAX that we actually got. We had a lot of kids come through, and I think that the general rule is that it's meant to be like 13 and under for use. But we had kids, I think the youngest we had would have been like 6, and like none of them had any problem. Like the movement, the actual experience and getting around and the mechanics of the game didn't even register for most of them. It was like they had just been born into like wearing a headset. It's crazy. So I honestly, like, I wouldn't doubt that there will be a lot less difficulty, because I definitely find that when people who are a little bit older are playing it, they have a lot more trouble than people kind of in their 20s and early 30s. Yeah. Even that like 10, 15 year difference, you notice that those that are older are kind of much faster to be like, cool, I've had my fill. Even if they're not getting motion sick, it's almost like it's so alien that they're just like, yeah, I'm done. I think you could be onto something.
Yeah, cool. I like feeling smart.
Don't tell him that.
Perko's theory proven right once again.
Next, he'll convince you flat Earth is real.
Well, let's not bring open a serious discussion on this podcast. Okay,
this is a place for levity and joy. Yeah.
Yes, it's true. The moon is a hologram. Look up the moon wave. let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
So moving straight into the news, this is probably the most important news story of the entire week, maybe even the entire year.
How good is this? This is amazing.
This is massive. This is massive.
Dying Light's getting a battle royale mode. I'm so excited about this.
Go fuck yourself, Wilco. You skipped directly over my news, you bastard. So I saw this today and I had to hijack the top spot in the news because I know a few people are going to be keen for it, at least one, me. There's a new One Piece game coming. Bandai Namco announced it today. It's an open world One Piece game called One Piece World Seeker. Apparently you will play as Luffy with all his rad gum gum powers and run around this open world, which... I'm stoked. I'm really, really fucking excited for this because I'm a massive One Piece nerd.
You need to be the community manager for Bandai Namco, to be honest.
Hey. Like, they're bringing out some really good shit.
Matty, I've got to ask you a question.
Bringing out some good shit.
How many of the previous One Piece games have you actually really enjoyed that have come out?
If you're talking about the last one, I fucking did not like that. That was poo-poo. it was not great. I think I reviewed it, actually, and poo-pooed all over it in the video review up on YouTube, actually, and it wasn't very good.
I'm just wondering, let me down a lot. Like, every time one seems to come out, you're like, yeah, really excited, and then you're like, no, this is man. Shit. So, like,
the Pirate Warrior games they're fun. So, I'm excited because this is the first open world one with a big storyline written into it and everything like that. The majority of One Piece games are sort of Dynasty Warriors, Musou sort of clones with, like, Pirate Warriors, where you can, and they don't get me wrong, they're lots of fun, but they're very mindless. They're button mashy. It's the kind of game where you destroy 200 enemies in a single move. While that is fun, it's very repetitive. I'm very keen to see what they do with an open world, whether we're going to see some of the more famous story arcs retold or whether they're going to explore new stuff. I've actually reached out to Bandai Namco today to try and get an interview with someone on the team at all, so we can have a chat to them about it and maybe get some more information. Because right now, I mean, this is less than 24 hours old at the time of this recording, this news. So, and if you want to go check it out, go to this website. This is the official website. I don't know who the fuck did this, but they should be fired. So, God, the official website is opws.bn-ent.net.
Very
clear.
What the
fuck? Yeah, what the fuck is your problem?
One Piece.
World Seeker. BandaiNamcoEntertainment.net. I'm assuming that's what it stands for. But why couldn't they just call it...
Rolls off the tongue. Yeah. I'll remember that.
Why couldn't that's it just easy. Be opworldseeker.net or onepiecews.net? Like, what the
they
fuck?
They were taken. I'm sitting on those ones. You they haven't approached fuck. Me with a price.
$40. Anyway, that's my news for the week. Wilco?
Okay, the real news for the week, the big thing, is Dying Light's getting a Battle Royale mode. 2018, the year of the Battle Royale. This is really good. So I've got nothing else to say because Dying Light was a really underrated game from, what, 2 years ago? And they've been hitting it with a heap of content since.
Oh, I need to play it, hey.
Like, I'm just surprised it's still there. I'm surprised people still play it.
Yeah. No, they've been adding a fair bit of content to it over the time. And, like... I used it to benchmark my monitor because it was one of the only games that let me do uncapped frames that I could, I sort of had available to me. And I went back into it and it's still as beautiful as ever. Those zombies will work perfectly in a battle royale if it's PvEvP. I haven't really looked too far into it, but I hope they do that. And I hope it's scary as hell.
I've done a bit of reading. I'm just trying to remember it now. I'm pretty sure it's you start out, so it's... a five-person team, I think. And you start out, you've got to run around and get something. I think it might be the vaccine or something like that. You've got to get a certain amount of it before a time limit so the rescue helicopter will actually come in. But then once it does, there's a limited amount of vaccines that you can get. So you've got to work as a team up to a point until the helicopter's called, and then you've got to look out for yourself and get your seat.
Yeah.
Because
thanks for shipping this vaccine with me, man. Pop, you're dead.
That's pretty much it. So I think they're going for that meld between, you know.
I'd love them to get like the day-night cycle in there somehow, whether they speed it up or not, because or have it happening just before dusk, because that whole transformation of that game at night mode.
It'd be cool if the, you know how Battle Royale, they always force you into the middle. It'd be cool if this was not a circular coming in, but when the sun sets and you can see the shadow moving on the ground? If they have that and the nighttime side of the map has crazy fast zombies where, you know, you can survive, but you've got to be really on your game to survive. And like they just have the nighttime coming across
that,
the map.
I think is what's missing in all Battle Royale games where they've got this invisible circle that forces you in with no real reason for it. But when someone's going to mix the PvE aspect into it and it's going to make you have to go in because you are scared for your life, then you've got real decisions to make whether you're going after the PvE or the PvP part of it. That's the one that's going to really take off, and that will be worthy of Game of the Year, not PUBG.
And not to mention...
I love that idea.
And not to mention the programming around these blue electrical walls that kill you is really doing me damage, because I saw a blue wall the other day and straight away fucking ran. Really,
you can just hear it crackling.
They need to stop with this shit, right? Because blue is
just
the color.
To be fair, Perko, a lot of things in Mackay are pretty old and probably could electrocute you if you touch them. So
you're probably making smart choices.
That's true. Probably.
That is true. Actually, I did open a door the other day and Tutankhamun was like just chilling out. I was like, hey, what the fuck are you doing here? I just need to never talk, hey? I'm a dickhead.
Definitely would rate the profile of this podcast. Yeah,
there's a new Tomb Raider game being... Fuck off. There's a new Tomb Raider game being teased. apparently more news to come in 2018.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, we've got a game. We'll tell you about it when we're ready.
Well, dude,
it's still got me hyped. That was all I needed. Yeah. I was just like, all right, yep, I'm ready.
Tomb Raider's been, it's been on a, Lara's back. She's back in a big way.
The tweet said, what is it? We're going to be changing things up or something on those lines. And I'm like, you just changed everything up and it's really good. And we want it to be
they're going to change it even more.
Lara's now,
it's Lara, it's Tom.
Yeah, Lara's now non-binary. Yeah, she's now non-binary. And she's
It's Tomb Raider Battle Royale.
Sorry. Oh, God, fuck. Can you imagine?
Tomb Raider Battle Royale mode. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, you just you start as Lara. You start as Lara.
I know what I am. I play it.
You start as Lara, and you have to go and pay money to unlock chests, and you might get some twos in a chest.
No, this is Square Enix.
Yeah, otherwise you just get fluffy toys.
That, Perco.
Oh, okay.
Right. They haven't done it yet, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the start.
No, they're too busy putting fucking Final Fantasy 15 characters in every other franchise under the fucking sun. Jesus.
Or making more content for the game that you didn't like for Final Fantasy 15.
No, I didn't dislike it. Come on, let's not do this again. I didn't dislike
okay,
Final Fantasy 15.
Far Cry 5. It's been delayed.
Oh, good.
That could be, sorry, Meredith, this could be a very long podcast if we keep him talking about Final Fantasy.
So, I had a little bit of Montreal in the voice.
Yeah. Far Cry 5 has been pushed back a month, so it's March 27th. I don't know when
maybe you can shed light on that, yeah. Meredith. Why a month? Like, obviously, that's not that long.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what you can do in a month.
I've got a theory.
Yeah, it's polished 99% of the time. I think is you just get to a point where you've spent so long iterating on the mechanics and the gameplay and everything else that you look at it and you're like, oh, I love this, except for these 10 other things that will make it the game we imagine. So I think a lot of the time a month is sort of that sweet spot of it's not so long that people will be really mad at us, but it's also long enough that we've got now 4 weeks to really smash out those features that we need to.
You see, I don't think people would be like, the problem is there's not a lot of transparency in these things. They go, oh, we're delaying it a month. Why? Yeah. Oh, we're just delaying it a month. I think if they came out and said, look, we are endeavored to give you guys the best experience that you deserve. So here are the problems that we're currently facing. We need 6 months.
Well, but
Yeah,
I think that's the value of the indie is that most indies are doing that. Like,
exactly,
indies are saying that and being like, hey, guess what? Like, this is how many people we have and this is what we're trying to do and these are the problems that we're hitting. And I think having that transparency with your community makes a huge difference. But I understand as well for those AAAs that's super difficult when your community's, you know, a couple of million people and one of those million are like, hey, fuck you. So it's like...
But I don't see why it's difficult when the truth eventually sort of comes out anyway.
Yeah,
I've heard a pretty interesting theory on it though, Perko. So bear with me.
All right.
It was said by a really cool guy called Marco.
Yeah.
And normally they'd launch for the last 3 or 4 years. They've launched a Tom Clancy game in March, at the end of March, and they've launched another game in February. So we had For Honor last year, and then we had Wildlands, and that's been their process at Ubisoft for a long time now. I think they had something planned for Wildlands for year two because it's built to be a multi-year game, and the user base for that is just terrible at the moment, and they've pulled whatever it was going to be and they've pushed that Far Cry 5 into that prime March spot that they've had for like 5 or 6 years now. And it's the big game that they're now going to focus on for that year. So that's my theory.
It's not a bad theory.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, Rooker, you did say you weren't sure when Crew 2 was delayed to it. They're now saying first half of the 18-19 fiscal year. So sometime between April 1, 2018 and March 31, 2019.
What I was hoping they were going to say for that was the Crew 2's been delayed till
never
30-21, 30-28. Yeah. I don't know, sometime after I'm dead anyway. So that'd be good if you do that. Thank you.
Jeez, that was depressing. You fucking morbid guy.
There's no one asking for the Crew sequel. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah,
that.
But we still got Knack 2, didn't we?
Yeah, we got it for free, though. So that's okay.
Oh, fuck, we did too.
That was funny.
Anyway.
Now, Meredith, who's in charge of putting the game up on a store? And how do they put it up for free? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look, yes and no. Like, once you're at a point where you've had a build approved, it's literally one button. So I am not at all surprised that people press one button and everything implodes. I keep teasing my team and being like, I'm just going to press the button and I'll just release it. And then what are you guys going to do? And it, like, because I'm awful. I totally get how people release things accidentally. It's
Hope you've got in the office like just a big red button. There's the button. You know,
red button.
And you kind of walk up and the team just watches you and you do that whole, that, you know, young kid trying to turn a light. Like, I'm the present number. Yes, I am.
I'm one of the clumsiest human beings probably on the planet. So for me, I'm just waiting till the day I like fall on my keyboard, tab onto the field and like slip onto the enter, because inevitably if anyone's going to do it, it'll be me. So hopefully it happens on Thursday. That's my hope.
Literally, I sat down on the weekend. I'm like, fuck, I finally get an hour to play games. I'm going to play some Assassin's Creed. I play it through my Steam Link on my PC.
Yeah.
There was some mad combination of buttons that deleted my PC from Steam Link. You need to hook up to a PC. There's no PCs found. I'm like, accidentally pressed three buttons and it happened.
Yep.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah.
PS4 sales have hit 70 million and PSVR has hit 2 million.
That's a surprise. Although it had some really good sales on the Black Friday.
Or PSVR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
70 million. God, that's a big console. That's a fucking lot of sales. Holy crap. Yeah. God, it's a big install base.
It'll hit 100.
Like, I wonder out of those 70 million, how many are active?
It's a good question.
Well, I think they've already said they've got, 40 to 50 million 60 million PS Plus members or something. That covers PS3 as well. The numbers are big.
Well, I've got Vita, PS3, and PS4. So you'd only count me once as a PSN member.
Yeah, you would. And you would only count you as one PS4. But see, I'll have a second PS4 hopefully by the end of next year. Mm. So and there are people that do have that in their house. So. Yes.
No, you can have separate PS4s. You would count separate PS4s, but you'd only count as one PSN.
But if you've got a PSN account and you're paying for your son to have a PSN account, that's two PSN accounts.
Here we go. That's true. So here's a couple more numbers for you. There's apparently more than 617.8 million copies of PS4 games have been sold as of December 3. And
oh my God. 12.2
million units of PSVR titles have been sold. That's both retail and digital.
Wow.
Yeah, the PSVR is the one that always shocks people, I think.
You need to remember, though, I'm picking up 4 to 5 free games every month from PS Plus.
Here's the big one.
Yeah.
In June this year, Sony revealed the PS4 had exceeded 60 million units sold worldwide. So since June...
They've sold 10 million units since June. Yeah. Every 6 months. They're going to break 100 million in 2 years.
Easy. The big thing is Nintendo is actually outselling the PS4 at the moment quite consistently. So
I still got concerns over the long. Yeah, I don't know. It's just hard to, like, if you look at the PS4 library and understand that quality over quantity comes. You know, it's a massive, massive thing when you're talking about this, because right now the Switch, to a lot of people, has some of the best games released, not just this year, but ever. Still, personally, if you right now said to me, you can take this PS4 with this massive library for this much money, or this Nintendo Switch with maybe 3 games that you might want to play, and
have a look. Like, we haven't seen a good year from Sony on a publisher side yet. Like, this year was okay. The last couple of years have been terrible. We've got God of War.
This year's been incredible. What are you talking about?
For what came out from Sony?
Horizon Zero Dawn. Yes.
One.
Nier. Neo.
Did they publish those? They were exclusives, but I don't think they
published. I don't know if they were published. Yeah. Why? That's a good point.
So Sony themselves as developers, I guess I should have said, publishers. Yeah. But,
they had the Crash remake. That was fucking huge.
That was massive.
Yeah, that still wasn't them, though. They outsource that because it's not their IP. But they've got God of War, Days Gone, hopefully Spider-Man. what's the other one? Then they've got that.
You got Last of Us 2.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus remake. Yeah, Last of Us 2. They've got a lot of stuff.
Siphon Filter. That'll happen.
And we'll segue into this as well. Yeah, Medieval. Man.
I remember that game. Far out.
Sir Fortescue is coming back to fucking hit that shit. It's going to be sick. Fuck, he's a legend. Game, you little slanty-eyed motherfucker. He's rad. He's got the slanty eyes. He's got the slanted mouth, and they all go different ways. He's fucking sick. I love that dude.
So you look at that lineup, and then you also chuck in the fact that one day we might see Death Stranding. Like, PS4 sales are only going to get bigger, to be honest.
Wait, did anyone watch that Death Stranding fucking trailer?
No, I refuse to.
Have you not watched it?
Nope.
No, you got to watch it. I'm still having nightmares.
Yeah, no. Can I like? I've seen a lot of trailers in my life, but this one was a legitimate what the fuck moment.
Bat shit. It's so bat shit. It's the best.
It is insane.
Purely because it's bat shit.
Yeah. Is
it playable?
Insane.
Did someone say the underwater scene? You can actually move around a little bit or something rather.
It looked like Subnautica. Just like, oh, Subnautica. Hey, what's up?
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's some real... there's some intense themes and... Yeah.
There's so many more questions than answers watching that trailer. You just come out of it with no idea.
Yeah, no,
Have you guys seen the interview that Kojima did about Death Stranding and the...
No, I'm boycotting all content on Kojima. He's talked too much for a game that's 3.5 years away.
He sat down and...
Yeah, but he's all about this part of the wonder you'd given.
I know, I'm just staring at you.
I know you are, you prick.
Yeah, what happened, it's Josh? Right, sorry to interrupt you, the voice of reason.
He sat down and talked about the voice of anger. The themes behind it and a bit about the gameplay, like really discussed how death, life and death is one of the really big themes and how normally when you die in a game, like that's kind of it, and it's a continuum, you go back to just before you die, and how he's trying to do something totally different with Death Stranding, and death is just another part of the game, if that makes sense.
The game that did that week? You died and you went to the underworld and you had to fight your way back.
No.
Was that Darksiders or something?
No, it was fucking Soul Reaver, Legacy of Kain.
It was too. Yeah, yes.
It was.
Legacy of Kain.
I can imagine that. Legacy of Kain game. Sorry,
no.
Which is another really freaking awesome game.
Yeah, they need to bring that back too. Fuck. I remember that was the first game. That was the first game where I ever saw someone get impaled on something, and I thought it was the most insane shit I've ever seen in my life. Maybe you used to be able to get the the candelabras like out of the ground and off the wall, and like impale people with them and then stand them up and then slide down them, and I was just like, oh my god, I'm 15 and this is fucking rad. Anyway.
apparently the rain in Death Stranding makes you age as well or something. I don't know, man. That's about when I started to get really confused.
Did see that. What? The themes sound great, but like, do you have to get across life and death with a baby inside Norman? Like, is that the way to communicate that? Like, that, because that really just flew right over my head. Like,
most of it flew over my head. I didn't know what the fuck was going on half the time.
Our whole office was watching it, just like, what the fuck? This is so confusing. We need to know. Like,
It was like watching M. Night Shyamalan take acid and then just fucking draw his dream. It was really fucking weird. I don't understand it, but yeah, anyway. So we're talking about Death Stranding now. We'll jump back up a little bit because there's some Destiny 2 shit going on.
Yeah,
this is really rough. Hey, Destiny 2 just needs to fucking get in the bin.
Have you played Meredith the expansion?
Yeah, no, I haven't touched the expansion yet. I've had no time. Absolutely zero. I still haven't even finished the original campaign. I've nearly leveled to 20 in Crucible because that's the only thing I've had the time for.
Well done.
Don't worry. You only really need an hour to play the expansion. So you should be able to find some time sooner or later.
Yeah, it's like an hour long.
So disappointing.
And the worst part about it is disappointing.
Yeah.
So news came out that, you know how there's current stuff that you have to be max level for to actually do?
So the content you could do, the prestige mode stuff, which you had to be like level 300 for, they've raised that up with the expansion. So you got to be like 330 or something or other, which if you only own the base game, you cannot access content that you could already access before the DLC. So you have to pay for the DLC to play the prestige modes.
That has to be, that someone like, has to have overlooked that. Like, that has to be something they did not
put out a tweet today saying he just came out of a boardroom meeting discussing content being locked out because of the DLC. The DLC will have a post up soon. So probably in the next hour or two, they'll address it and it'll be fixed up. But the most disgusting part of the DLC to me is the fact that there's 200 items added to this world that you can now collect. And, you know, guns, weapons, and all that kind of stuff. 100 of those 200 weapons, you have to get through Bright Engrams.
Get fucked.
So there's, look, I'm probably going to write an article over Christmas just about how the loot boxes destroyed the Destiny world, because you can pinpoint just about every decision they've made back to people, getting people to buy the engrams.
Just these fucking money-hungry corporations need to get the fuck out of their video games and just let us, like, let people just make video games for the sake of video games again, not just try and bleed money out of everyone, because really it's really getting back, old.
Really just comes back to rule number one. Don't be a fucking dick.
Yeah, don't be a dickhead.
Don't be a dick.
How are you implementing loot boxes into Paperville Panic, Meredith, by the way?
Yes, so actually the game itself, when you launch, is one giant loot box that you have to unwrap, and it takes exactly 2 hours so that you can't refund the game on Steam.
Ah, excellent.
It's actually a giant game of Pass the Parcel, where you get to pay $2, unwrap one layer, and then the next person on the internet gets to unwrap a layer, and they have to pay $2. And every single time someone pays $2, another layer gets unwrapped, and if you unwrap the last layer,
hey,
you get the game.
It makes me so sad because I love Destiny and I love that universe. And so it's such good content. So when stuff like this happens, I just feel bummed out because it's like, oh, you've got something amazing. And this stuff just really puts a kind of sad spin to it.
Here's a weird question. Out of interest, you said you love the universe. Do you? Or do you love the time that you had with Destiny 1? Because realistically...
The universe itself. Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Well,
now.
it was all in those weird fucking written things that you had to read outside the game. And
yeah, but even that.
I guess when I say the universe, that feel of it. Like,
yeah,
I,
yeah, the
I
feel
loved,
of it's very good. It's a solid shooter.
The feel of that first game. In so many ways. And like, it was just so much fun.
We've got a question in our listener feedback, which I'll probably address it then properly, but I just wanted another big expansion to Destiny 1, to be honest, and I think they've ruined it by making Destiny 2 a separate game.
It's because what happened this year was, and we've been worried about it for years, the egregiousness or how egregious publishers were getting with their loot boxes and their DLC and all that sort of stuff. We've been worried about it for years. It seems to have come to a head this year. And it seems to have broken the camel's back around the Star Wars release. Yeah. It's been building for a long time. So the problem is that years ago when Destiny 1 was there, they said, look at all these other people making all this money off loot boxes. You know what? Scrap the Destiny 1 stuff. Let's start on Destiny 2. Let's build it around longevity, making a service, making more money. But now, I think now that gamers have finally had enough and they're saying, no, fuck this. Stop treating us like, you know, your own personal ATM machines, because we're fucking not. I think a lot of the plans of the last 18 months that are coming to fruition now, people are starting to shit themselves about, because for the past 18 months, all these companies have been going, we can make a game around this, but now they can't because we're over it.
But even like the emotes before you go into trials is clearly, hey, look at these cool things that you might not have. You need to grind the Bright Engrams to get these emotes that other people have. The level, they randomly upped your level in this DLC that you have to go from 20 to 25, which means you can't get Bright Engrams until you level your character up to 25 for zero reason. Like, there's no other advantage to actually getting to level 25. It's just weird. And it makes me sad.
You know, we've been talking about it for years. I reckon you can go back to probably one of the first 10 episodes where I was going on about how loot boxes are a form of gambling. Yeah. Honestly, like, we've been talking about it for ages, and we talk about it every week. And it just, I finally feel as if we might,
something's going to change.
Actually, yeah, maybe yeah, get something happening.
You don't get the most downvoted comment in Reddit history and nothing changes. Yes.
There's a couple of things on it, though. I honestly, like, Destiny's probably the worst at it because they do charge you a full price for a game. Then they do charge you for the DLC, and then they expect you to pay for the microtransactions as well. That's triple dipping. Yeah. That's too much.
The only way it could be more egregious is if they charged you a monthly subscription as well.
That's the next step. But the other thing is, I think EA's had all this trouble, and Activision's gone, don't worry, hold our beer, guys. We're gonna help you out and take the spotlight off you for a bit.
We'll take some heat. We'll take some heat, boys. It's all good.
It's all good. Anyway.
Until the new UFC comes out. Oh, man. Oh, shit. Yeah. Anyway. Bayonetta 3 has been revealed, which is fucking rad because Bayonetta 1 and 2 are sick games, and it's exclusive to Switch, and Bayonetta 1 and 2 are coming to Switch as well.
And there's Matt's reason to buy a Switch. That's game number 4.
Yeah, more or less.
Do it.
Bayonetta's fucking good. Bayonetta's so
good. I've actually
never
played Bayonetta. I'll probably be picking up on the Switch, I reckon.
Yeah,
I think I'll do the same.
Oh, man, it's just, it's such a good game. It's like a over-the-top stylized Devil May Cry. But it's hard to explain. It just feels great to play, and the moves are ridiculous. Bayonetta is rad.
Get it,
fucking,
and I'm going to be the most frustrated person in the world because it's going to come and say you suck at this game every time because it's got that whole ranking system on how bad you are.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you get a lot of low ranks when you start. Holy shit!
I'll be breaking. I'm lucky I've got two keyboards in front of me. I'll be breaking a few of them, I think.
Yeah, fuck off. Hey, speaking of breaking keyboards, new fighting game. I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Soul Calibur 6. Yeah, we said it was going to happen quite a few weeks ago, and it has been announced. Soul Calibur 6 is coming to. Why?
There's so many fighting games that are taking off again, and Soul Calibur's a game they haven't done in a while. So, hey, cool, let's jump on the bandwagon.
No way. After the abysmal Soul Calibur 5, there was no bets. There was no bets. But anyway, Soul Calibur 6 coming to PS4 and Xbox One. And I've actually downloaded the beta for another game tonight that is full of Street Fighter EX characters, all the EX characters as well. So that's pretty cool. A lot of fighting games making a resurgence, which is awesome for me. Not for anyone else because no one actually gives a shit about fighting games.
Didn't want to say anything. But yeah.
Yeah. Meredith, do you play fighting games?
Oh, not for a very long time. I used to play quite a bit of Mortal Kombat and stuff when I was a lot younger. But there's just too much out there for me to play that's narrative driven that I can't justify it time-wise.
Understand completely. I understand that completely.
I grew up with him, you know, and his love for fighting games. So anytime I'd try and play one with him, like it'd just be triple perfect one after another. So I just, I accept the fact I'm shit at them, and I'm okay with that. I'll move away from it. I'm not good at that. Yep. I'm not going to do it.
I'll take my FPS games, but I'm gonna leave the fighting games for everyone else, I think.
This is big news. I read about this the other day. So. Yeah, for me, because I've had the same fucking PlayStation name. I think it's, Big Dicks Bong On 24/7 or some shit? No, it's not really.
What's it been, 11 years now since PSN names started?
So Sony execs are hinting that you'll be able to change your PSN name within the year. This has been the most requested feature.
How has it taken this long,
forums, I think,
to be
for
honest?
Years. Because someone fucked up in there, I guarantee, because I work with databases at work.
Yeah. Bad database design.
So there has to be something called a unique identifier, usually to uniquely identify players. Now, in companies that understand what they're doing, i.e. not Sony in this case, obviously, they set the unique identifier. So that someone signs up with a username, and then as they sign up with a username, it goes username, but that is not the unique identifier. Right. The unique identifier, we will give you some random 9-digit number or whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. And then every time the username is called, it actually references the unique identifier. I bet my bottom dollar that the unique identifier is the fucking username. Yep. And it's written into absolutely everything. So it makes it really hard to change.
That does make sense.
You can't.
That's probably
can't just, you know, you can't just change that. And not only that, but you can't just add an extra unique identifier into a absolutely massive database without doing really bad things to the rest of everything else in there. So I understand why it's probably been really hard to change. It's very exciting that it's going to happen. I can finally get away from an old band name that hasn't existed for 10 years.
Or get the band back together. So, you know, either or.
Don't
like
get
that style of thinking.
Just don't do it.
No, I'm not going to hit a big Blues Brothers fucking thing to save some church in town. That's what we're going to do.
No, actually, yeah, no, please do. Please do. That would be hilarious.
No, I wouldn't. Anyway, so that's apparently it came about. I think it was Bobby Kotick or someone. I can't remember exactly who it was saying, look, yeah, we get asked about this a lot. I do know that it's being worked on right now. And by next, I think it's next PlayStation Experience, we won't be being asked that question anymore. So he didn't actually say it's definitely coming, but he more or less said
so they're
it's
gonna
not going to be being asked in a year because it's going to be
next year. They're going to say, stop asking us, we're not doing it.
Yeah. They're going to release the database tables. They're going to release the database and go, here, you fix it. And then no one's going
to
say anything.
They could always make it loot box driven where you get a chance to change the name. You get a random name every time you pay money.
Don't give them ideas,
hey,
you dickhead.
But if you're going to do DLC for a game, you should do it free like Monster Hunter World's going to do. How good's that?
That is going to be really, really sick, actually. This is just another reason to buy this fucking game.
I don't think
I've got so many reasons to buy this game.
You've got to get Stevie Jar to buy a PS4 so he can buy this game so he can play with you. I think that's the key. Hurry up, Stevie.
I think so. I've got a few mates who are going to be playing this game on the old PlayStation, and I'm very, very excited for it. Free DLC, big monsters, Mega Man's in the game, apparently, which I'm not too sure I agree with.
Okay, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, it looks real dumb, too.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think I want to know.
No.
No.
It's apparently so in the game as well.
Yep, you can play as Aloy. It's an armor set you can get, but you can... So you can get these things called Palicos, and they're kind of like this little cat that follows you around and like helps you on your quests, kind of like a Pokemon, like a Meowth sort of fucking thing, and it helps you with items and tells you where to go and shit. One of the skins you can get for your Palico is a pixelated bright fluorescent blue Mega Man, and it looks real dumb.
Yeah, cool.
Up against the realistic backdrop of Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, because Mega Man looks so good in Dead Rising. That was awesome as well. Yeah.
Oh, that was actually fucking sick, Peter. Shut up. You had to run over 53,000 zombies to get that fucking Mega Man Mega Buster. And I did it.
You did it.
It was great.
You know what I'm really excited about, though? MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries. We got a release date for it.
Hey.
2018. It will happen.
There you go. Oh, that's not that far away.
It's full mod support and 4-player co-op, I'm being told as well. So always knew the co-op it's based around MechWarrior Online's architecture. So they play up to 12-man squads. So 4-player co-op's fairly easy to do. So looking forward to that because I obviously was with ARM before I came here and that was game based around MechWarrior Online. So I've put many now into a mech game and, yeah, pretty excited. So, yeah, can't wait. So... That's all the news we got there. Unless Meredith knows something we don't know. No.
Well, we do have some actually very important news from Meredith. Is there's the most important indie game this year is being released on this Thursday, I believe.
This Thursday,
Meredith.
1 p.m.
I'm
not counting the hours at the moment. It's great. It's going to be great. And I'm really excited. I really am. I think it's just that stage that every dev has, which is just like, cool. And now I need to scream it like for 6 to 12 hours and then I'll be good.
I really fucking wish I could play it. Like, I really wish I had a Vive. I wish I could play it. If you can port it to the Lenovo headset before Thursday, let me know.
All right. Well, look, I will pivot the team and we'll get working on it.
How much sleep
I'm sure
you're going to
have more important things
Thursday.
To do.
Meredith?
How much what, sorry?
How much sleep do you think you're going to get between now and Thursday?
Oh, I don't really remember what sleep feels like.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, it's not like we're crunching. It's not like we're doing anything like that. But it's just like I get into bed and I close my eyes and I hear our levels soundtracks in my head. And I just am like, this is fine. Like...
With so much work going into this and like so many people's, blood, sweat and tears and the energy in the office and around the team must be electric. Like, you're about to release this thing that so many people have poured so much hard work into, and it must be a fucking cool feeling. Like, just knowing that it's so close to push this out there.
I think, like, everyone's in that sort of really strange stage where it's sort of the calm before the storm. Because everything is sort of going the way it's meant to be for the most part. And
oh, that's the worst ever.
The designers have a little bit like they're working on future stuff. And so the devs are just kind of patching the last few things. We're doing a lot of QA and a lot of testing. So we're at this really strange spot where it's like, oh, we're here, we think. So it's, as much as we can possibly know at this stage. So now we've just, and we've had awesome feedback and people are really keen to see it and love the idea. And so now it's just a matter of giving it to them and hoping that they like it.
That's it. Hoping everyone can find it. Are you you learning Unity as well at the moment? Is that what your next project
is? I'm trying to learn Unreal. So, because, I mean, my big thing is, though, in saying that, I have been, like, implementing sounds in the past 2 days because one of my devs, Thomas, he just keeps asking me to do things that I have no idea how to do because he just believes in me. Like, he genuinely does. And then he will actually show me how to do it. And I haven't broken a build yet. So far, so good.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn Unreal because I want to be a producer that knows how long things are going to take for people and not in a sense that, like, so I can be like, yeah, I'm dare you not get that done in 4 hours and 15 minutes. But just so I'm not setting insane, unrealistic goals that are just going to stress people out. I made a bridge.
So you want to be a project manager with a brain?
Yeah, ideally. It's going to be.
That's a fad.
That's the hope. But ideally I'd love to learn Unreal and Unity and Maya and have at least that ground level understanding.
That's not much work. That's not much work at all.
Until we do that over a weekend.
No big deal. Between the list of games I want to play, the list of games coming out, and then the list of things I want to learn, free time is, I've never heard of it.
Hold on. Whoa, free time, you've never heard of it. Didn't you just get back from Japan?
I did, that's true. But in saying that, half the time I would end up in a store and they would have like some really random Japanese like VR headset and I was like, I just want to buy that. I want to try that. I need that. I need to look at that. Yeah. So I definitely didn't leave work entirely behind, especially because I missed everyone. Mm-hmm. So that kind of
office. And Maya's not even that. Maya's not even that hard anyway. I got a copy of Maya and booted up and had a stroke instantly. So it can't be that difficult to master.
Yeah, I literally lost my first scene that I built in Unreal twice and just couldn't find it. And I was like, oh, this is good. This bodes well.
Don't worry. We did our first ever podcast and we lost that too.
If no one is around to see it, did it happen? Mm-hmm. That's the real question.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. Yep.
Yes.
Now is on.
Yes, definitely happened. That's all for news. Moving into the listener feedback section, if you guys want to ask us a question, you can do so at a couple of different places. You can email us at megacast@ultrasupermega.com.au or you can jump in the Discord where we have a podcast channel where you can ask us all the fucking questions that you want. Questions this week both come from Stevie Jar because he's the only person who gives a shit at this point in time.
No, he's been boycotting the questions the last month, so I don't know what's happened.
We love Stevie Jar. Okay. He listened to the voice of reason, right? He listened to the voice of reason.
He did.
And he's given us some questions.
Why fucks me how that became you?
I don't know either.
Because Wilco complains about everything and you just get angry.
I complain
I don't even get that angry. I don't even get angry. I just tell everyone to fuck off. Anyway, so Stevie Jar has asked, oh, why are you asking me about work, you dickhead? Fuck.
You can all see how much Perko does in the podcast. He's just read this.
Do you know of any good backup solutions, Perko? So he's asked me a work question in a podcast. Well, for a start, mate, I'm going to charge you consulting hours for this. All right?
I'm wondering if it just might be in reference to your struggles lately with your home computer is all.
Oh, yeah, but you can't back up 3 terabytes worth of data for cheap, so no. Anyway, Stevie Jar, it depends on what you want to back up. If you want enterprise-level backup solutions, use Commvault because it does fucking everything. If you're only doing virtual stuff, use Veeam. They're pretty much the only two things you'll ever need again in your life. If you're a small business, just use backup. Just use the normal Windows backup, PowerShell script it. If you ever touch backup exec, you're a dumb. There you go.
Done.
Damn, solid. Yeah.
That's it.
Smashed it.
That's about it. That'll be $159, you prick.
And here come the microtransactions from UFM.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
He's got a
so Stevie Jar has also asked.
How good's this?
Yeah, he does. He's also asked, there's a lot to be said about microtransactions. We've said a lot of it already.
Yes.
But is hype just as big a killer of games as well? Did we expect too much from Destiny 2? I found myself telling everyone I loved it, and I... Okay. I'm a little bit confused with that. But it was actually one of the more boring games I've played in a long time. Would we have been happy if it was just DLC rather than have all these expectations of a new game? It's pretty sure, but to me it lacks substance, and it seems like the community all rallied behind it from launch because they bought into the hype and in the course of time has seen it for what it really is. Merry Christmas, you rad fuckers. Look forward to you streaming the show live again in the new year. Merry Christmas, Stevie Jar.
Yes.
And, all right, who wants to take this? Wilco.
Okay. Yes. Destiny 2 should never exist. It should have been an expansion to Destiny 1, because then we'd have so much content to play, because we'd have all these old strikes. We'd have all these old worlds. Imagine the worlds. Someone's actually overlaid the old maps with the new maps, and the map itself just looks... I'm just drooling thinking, how cool will this be if we had all these worlds to explore, all these strikes to do?
Yep.
The game was good. By the time of end of year three, it was really good. And that's the game that everyone was excited. Like, we're going to get more of this. And then the problem I had, where I fell into the hole personally, is I trusted Bungie. I really did. I thought they knew what they were doing. They're going to be fine. They're going to bring me a game that's as good as Destiny 1 and probably better. But...
they learn from their mistakes. They'll fucking fix it.
They didn't. That was the problem. Like, I can honestly point a lot of it to probably Activision's hand saying that you need to promote loot boxes more. The one thing I said in my review that stuck out so hard was they made you go to Eververse to collect things. And it was part of the story content where you had to go to Eververse, where before in Destiny 1 it was just sat to the side. You'd go there and look at it if you knew what you wanted and stuff like that. But in Destiny 2, they made it front and center. You have to go there to grab stuff all the time to try and normalize it. But look, it should have, it should have been DLC. And
So
I don't think hype killed
first
it.
Of all, Stevie.
But I think Stevie's got... he's hitting the right track there, saying that hype is as big of a killer to games. Because
can hype kill games? Yes.
Yes, it can. No Man's Sky last year. Hype can kill games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did hype kill Destiny 2? No.
Bungie, no, I don't think hype was an issue with Destiny 2. I think maybe we did maybe expect a little bit too much from Destiny 2. We expected a game on release
to learn from their mistakes.
Well, yeah, I just think where I say we expected too much, we expected it to be as big as Destiny 1 was when Destiny 1 was finished.
But that was one of their mistakes, because the problem with Destiny 1 was that they released a game that was too small, too lacking in content. The general gameplay of Destiny is very good. What they're creating is good. It's just not enough of it. That was the whole point with Destiny 1. That was the whole problem with Destiny 1. They did the same thing with Destiny 2.
I feel like we expected to. I mean, we're talking about a game that is designed to keep people coming back and playing, you know, and for a long time, for 2 years, 3 years. So they're gonna have to design it to release bits and pieces piecemeal. Like,
The issue is they ever split it in the first place. Destiny 2 should never, not only have never been a game, it should never have even been a thought in anyone's head.
No.
We use WoW a lot in comparison, but it's easy to do because Destiny is, they build themselves as an FPS MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go back and look at WoW, vanilla WoW, that game got infinitely larger with all the expansions and all the shit that came after it.
Yeah.
If they never ever if they didn't cut it and just kept releasing Destiny, and they gave us what they promised us, which was a 10-year life cycle for Destiny 1, then by the end of that 10 years, you would have an incredibly large MMO size first person shooter. But instead, money got in the way, as it always this. And we've spoken about commercialization of video games and the corporations getting involved. Money got in the way. There really isn't much money in releasing a $16 expansion every couple of months. The big money comes when you do the same amount of work, which they did, because Destiny 2 is pretty much just a fucking expansion pack anyway, and make hundreds of millions in a new sale of a new game and loot boxes.
Now, Meredith, you've played Destiny 1 to death like I have. Some of the coolest things in Destiny 1 were when you got the ship for that raid, or you got different like cosmetic style things that had no effect on gameplay, but you chased them in that game. They stripped all that out. So there's nothing to chase bar armor and weapons now when you're playing.
Yeah, I think a little bit of the spark in some ways has kind of gone. And I do think hype contributes to that. I think people get to a point where they think they have an idea of where the developer wants to take it, or they think they know how it's going to look, and they take it to the full extent of what that path could look like, when in reality it's a million different branching paths that the devs are actually looking at. So, I mean, I think hype didn't help. And I think there's a lot of struggle in the AAA community at the moment in working around the DLC versus microtransaction versus loot box model. And honestly, all of them could be critiqued in a number of different ways. There's not really anyone that's nailed it. So I think it's a shame. I do think they definitely could have done it as an expansion pack. But then in saying that as well, you don't get all the extra new merch and all the things that come with that. Like, you can't really do the expansion pack art book. It doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends if they market it as expansion.
Because WoW did it.
Yeah.
WoW had collector's editions, and some of those are worth a lot of money now.
I think WoW has that position of being so expansive and so ingrained with its community that they know that whatever merch they release like that is always going to be huge appeal. But I think for people who have more of a collector mindset across games in general, they're going to be more interested in an art book than they are for an actual full new game than they are for an expansion of a game that maybe they don't feel as attached to.
How about the thought that we have no one, like, I think that hype can be blamed for the downfall of a game when that hype comes from the publishers and the developers. I actually don't think that Destiny 2 was that, like, there was a lot of advertising for it, yeah, sure, but they weren't out here making crazy, they weren't out here saying this is the last game I'll play or anything like that. They were actually quiet. They were very quiet. A lot of this hype came from the fact that this was the team behind Halo and Destiny 1. Yeah. I think regardless of what was said, what was said by the publishers or the developers, this game, we did this to it. We hyped this up ourselves.
I'll give you this one for free, Stevie. This is said by some smart person. A game is never better than the day before release, because the game that you build in your head will infinitely be better than the game you play on day of release.
That's wrong on so many different games that I can think of. Like, one of them, we spoke about one of them tonight, Superhot. I heard almost nothing about that game when I first got it, and it was never, ever better than the 15 seconds after I finished that game.
I'll rephrase it, though. This is what the hype is. So the actual hype itself. There was no hype around Superhot before it came out, so there was no chance to build those expectations in that game up in your mind. So, like, the AAA studios do it the best, and they make you think this game is, like, they don't make you, but they...
It's so far out a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Years and years.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, especially with Destiny 1, like, that was probably about a 2.5 year cycle into. Well, the best example will be Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out next year by Rockstar. That game will be 100% the best game in your head, and then day of release, it won't be that good, but it still might be great. But it definitely won't be as good as the picture you have. Come on, mate.
I don't know about that. Red Dead Redemption was arguably the game of a generation. It was fucking massive.
I'll agree with exactly what Wilco's saying there. I think that's right. You know, everybody, both the community large and individual gamers get an idea of what they expect the game to be when they get into it. And you know, if you're at that level of hype where you're, you know, reading every single piece of article or news or something that comes out for a game, then I think it's got to be a really special game for you to get into it and be surprised, you know? Like, yeah. if you're going that far into it and reading all of this stuff, you would have to, like, I don't think it would be wrong to say, you know, 90% of the time you're going to get into the game and it's not going to be as good as you thought it was. It's still going to be...
No, because you're joining dots and filling in blanks that aren't there.
Yeah.
And we're never there.
Yeah. So
you create this false attachment to features or to cosmetics or to... And you see it all the time, even just with events in games. Like, people come up with an idea for a skin for a hero and immediately when they don't have that come out, instead of being thrilled by what did come out, there's this feeling of, oh, we missed out on that this time.
Yeah.
And I can't... Hopefully next time they get that right. So it's...
Maybe I'm just a cynical motherfucker then, because, like, I don't really feel disappointed by many games. Like, usually if a game comes out, and even if I'm hyped up for it, like Monster Hunter World, right? I'm going in, and I talk about it a lot, I'm going in expecting an 8.5 or 9 out of 10 game. I'm not going in expecting a 10 out of 10 game. I know there's going to be flaws with that. I know that the game's going to piss me off. I'm still hyped about it, but I go in with very realistic expectations. I never sit here and think... I never go into a game thinking, oh my God, this is going to be the last game I have to play.
I'm not saying that, though. I'm more saying like, there's aspects of the game that you sort of in your head make up that just aren't going to be there and never were going to.
Let's just use Mass Effect Andromeda as an example. Like, the Mass Effect series, that trilogy was really, really good. And when it ended, like, it has
been shit since number one.
That's your opinion. You're entitled to it. I enjoyed the Mass Effect trilogy a lot and I thought it was a really good game. And when Andromeda was coming out, I'm like, okay, cool. We've got another Mass Effect game and it's going to be another start to another great trilogy, and then it came out and had all these issues, you know, and there was all this hype built up to that game, and then it released and it didn't match the hype, and that was part of the
letdown of an emotional attachment.
Yeah, but that's also a bad game. Like, you can also have it with good games where something like Zelda, which is claimed to be perfect and there's all this hype around it, and you can get fed into that. It's still a great game, but it's still not what
I expected. This is where I'm cynical again. This is where I'm cynical again. They did not advertise Mass Effect in the lead up to Andromeda coming out. They did not hand out review copies for it at all. I knew that game had something up about it.
Yeah.
Straight up, like, in the months leading up to it. No, I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying maybe I'm too cynical. Like, I don't think that...
Yeah, you probably are, actually.
I don't know if it's cynicism. I think, you know, for you, you're having a lot of conversations and thinking about a lot of this stuff in a lot more detail than probably a lot of average gamers. So I think people who are a little bit closer to dev communities and to discussing kind of the art of games and the behind the scenes, I think have a little bit more of an understanding and a bit more forgiveness a lot of the time than your average gamer who is just wanting to pick it up and wanting it to be exactly what they hope it'll be.
Yeah. You see, I've got no problem with a game being not what it lives up to be. I've got no problem with that because, as far as I'm concerned, I like to gauge my time in money well spent sort of thing. So if I spend $60 on a game and it gives me 10 hours of enjoyment, well, that's $6, you know, per hour. That's actually really good value for me. You know,
I'm not too
pissed off about that.
Like, if it's missing,
yeah, exactly. Compared to a movie, you go to a movie, you pay $20 at a cinema, and you're fucking an hour and a half. Like,
you end up with Justin Lee. Yeah, cool.
Anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Booyah.
You know, it's so...
Oh, I'm still so mad about that.
Yeah, same. It was.
It's a good movie, it was okay. Guys. Just leave it alone, all right?
It was okay.
On the IGN scale, you gave it a good, because somehow a 7.0 is good. 6.5, 7? What did you give it?
It is. I gave it a solid 7.
It's watchable, apparently. I'm not watching it, but it's watchable.
That's not what I look for in my movies. Like, watchable isn't the key word in the review.
this is possible.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, especially true in the gaming of 2017. Like, imagine putting out a game that, it's playable, it's good.
Yeah.
Especially a AAA title. Like, for it to stand out this year, it has to be special.
Exactly.
But sometimes you don't want a game that stands out. Like, guess what I'm playing right now? I'm playing fucking Darksiders, the Definitive Edition, and that's a game that came out years ago. It's because it's free, but I just need a palate cleanser right now, something that I can sort of mind numbingly just... you know, press the buttons game, to and shit. And
the game that I'm 100% most keen to play right now, and I've got all these games in my library, AAA and everything, is Rumu.
Yep.
It's just sitting there on my computer
screen. I'm so sad.
Yeah. So, look, I'm my 2018 is very different to what I predicted it would probably be, because I'm not going to get hyped about AAA games anymore. I'm not going to be getting excited about them, because we've seen this year that they can be just balls them up so badly trying to get the extra dollar, and I'm just over it. So I'm excited about indie games next year, and I'm not going to be too worried about anything else. If a game comes out that is good and gets good chatter, I'll probably get into it. But other than that, I'm not that excited.
Saying it's only AAA devs or AAA companies or AAA releases that can balls it up. I mean, No Man's Sky was pretty much an indie release, and like they balls it up really badly. It can happen to anyone. I think what you need to do.
I think that was coming with Sony. Yeah. To be honest, which is AAA.
You just got to come in with water deck. You got to water down your expectations. You know, you've got to stop thinking that this next game is going to be the best thing you've ever played. You've got to stop believing all the hype. Read a few things. You know, do a bit of cross checking. If you read that this features in the game, then read another article that says these are the actual bad things about it. You know, just to have sort of a balanced view on things as you go in, and don't expect too much out of things. Yeah, and don't pre-order anything.
I don't want a balanced view. I don't have time for a balanced view. I'll read one thing, look at the front cover. If it catches me, I'm there.
Okay. So, and by the way, all this, from my point of view, is coming from a guy who does a podcast called Super Hype Train. So hype's awesome. Get on it.
That's true.
Our hype,
that's it.
Awesome. That's true. Yeah. Well, what are we looking forward to, guys? Let's start to wrap this thing up, because we've kept Meredith for way too long, and you've got a fucking game to release this week, Meredith.
This is actually a nice little break to talk about games that aren't the one we're developing. I love Paperville more than anything in the world, and I love that world, but I love games in general, so this has been good.
That's great. That's very good. Sweet. So what are we looking forward to? Okay, we'll start with you.
Me? Okay. Rumu, obviously. I'll be streaming it probably Thursday night, so I probably won't play it till then. And I'll do a bit of a Let's Play video or an impressions video to put up on the website, because I do want to create content around this game, because you all need to play it. I don't care, Demuji, what you think of it. Yep. You all need to play it. I'm also excited to finish Wolfenstein 2 if I can, and I'm just excited about this break over Christmas. This 9 days off and then add 7 days kid-free after that is going to be a godsend, and I don't care what that says about me being a parent, but I can't wait. So, that's the main things that I'm excited about right now.
Sounds good. Josh, what are you looking forward to, my bro?
Star Wars, Thursday night. 7 p.m. We are there.
Is that a new indie film or what?
Thursday is a big day.
It's
going
to be a great day. It's going to be an awesome thing. I'm really glad.
Is it true Luke Skywalker dies in the first 10 minutes? Yes, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's true. We speaking of horrible spoilers.
You are walking on very fucking thin ice.
speaking of horrible spoilers, so our mate, our good friend Bitcoin's coming with us to the movies, and he went... I was actually out of town. He went to the last one. What was it called? I can't even remember now. You know,
you talking about Rogue?
Episode 7, anyway.
Yeah.
Episode 7.
Oh, Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, yeah. So they went to that, right? And I think it was...
And you call yourself a Star Wars fan. Oh,
yeah. I can't even remember.
At least he didn't say it was fucking Good Morning Force.
Yeah. You know the guy. I can't remember his name, but they walked out of the cinema, right? They watched the 6 o'clock one. They've walked out of the cinema. All these people are lined up, and top of his voice, he's gone, "I can't believe that Kylo Ren was Han's son and Kylo killed him." And he just about got beat the fuck up.
Oh, dude, put spoiler warnings. Fucking hell, spoiler warnings on the podcast. Can you edit that in, Pogo?
Yeah, like in the middle of the cinema as they're walking out after they've just seen it.
Oh, that's awesome. How did he get out alive? Well, like, I thought there would have been 100 odd killing him.
So I'm just glad he's not coming, because I'm not keen for a fight on Thursday night.
Yeah, definitely not. Hey, Meredith, what are you looking forward to? I'm guessing releasing a game, probably.
Yeah, releasing the game is probably number one. No, I'm super excited for Thursday. I've already told the team that I'm making pancakes that morning, so we do need to buy a frying pan. So that's also on my list of things I'm looking forward
just
to.
Just make sure you've got a firefighter on hand, please, especially.
Well, yeah, we're attempting to be, you know, quite well versed. So we'll see. Or really, you know, if we're going to create something immersive, we need to immerse ourselves.
That's it.
So worst case scenario, don't
immerse yourself in fire.
I've heard it's not good.
You might not have a good time.
Otherwise, yeah, Rumo and Last Jedi, I'm pretty hyped for both of those this week. It's going to be a good week in games.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week in games, indeed. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Hey, and me, I'm looking forward to Monster Hunter and Dragon Ball FighterZ and playing some more Fortnite with my friends and just getting through the Christmas break because there's no break for me working through Christmas, so getting through that as well and getting aircon. Holy fuck, I'm looking forward to getting fucking air conditioning. Let's close this out. Wilco, where can we catch you, man?
Not in my bed sleeping because I don't do that anymore, but probably on Wilco's Chill Zone on Twitch and Twitter. That's probably about it. You can find me elsewhere. You know where to find me. I'm tired.
Cool. Josh, where can we catch you, dude?
It's Super Mega Josh on the Twitter and the Discord. Otherwise, on the Switch, mainly, at the moment, is where I'm spending all of my time. But
go on, read out your friend code. Do it.
I don't even know how to find that.
Don't have it memorized?
No, I'm not there.
He doesn't know how to have friends.
That is another really, really bad way to use a unique identifier, Nintendo. You fucking dumbs.
That's pretty much it. That's where I live.
Meredith. Yeah. Meredith, where can we catch you? On the Twitters, on Facebook, that sort of stuff?
Yes.
And also, where can people find Paperful Panic, I guess, as well?
Yes. So if you look up Paperful Panic on the Steam store, you will see our beautiful pictures. So you can wishlist us there or pick us up as of Thursday if you do have a Vive. Or if you don't have a Vive and you just want to be really friendly that day. Otherwise, I'm at Mary H on Twitter. And I'm pretty much at Mary H on everything. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Cool stuff. Awesome. And myself, you can catch me, Super Mega Matthew, on Twitter and in the Discord as well. You can catch me around the blocks on PSN and on Steam and stuff like that. I've got a bunch of different names. So hit me on the Discord if you want to verse me in Tekken sometime and get fucking flogged. That's for real.
Well, I don't know. From what I've heard.
You are not welcome back.
Meredith, you permits. What do you mean?
I'll take my leave.
That was a sick burn. All right, guys. We should be back next week for hopefully the Game of the Year podcast and Christmas after that. So Merry Christmas, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.